We're talking about humility. And let's go back. We were looking at Isaiah 28, so let's go back there. Isaiah. Are you in Isaiah?
Put your hat back.
Isaiah 28, verse 12. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith we may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord, implied there, is continued to be unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. This is the rest and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. Why? Because they still believed this, that the process of understanding God was by the cursed process of man. And so no matter how much they tried, no matter how much they attempted, no matter what they did, there was never the rest and there was never the refreshing. They could learn the Bible by heart and there would never be the refreshing. So, and this is to each of you just as much as it is to everybody else, that as long as you believe that you're learning line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little, then you have missed the mystery of God, and you've missed humility because you're still trying to enhance yourself. The only way is repentance. That's the singular way of any apprehension of Him. The emptying and abandonment of self that He might be revealed and He might possess His rightful possession. You have been a usurper on the land. You are illegal. Is everybody, is that clear with everybody?
Yeah, this preaching makes me picture in my mind, it's like I'm up on my own little Tower of Babel, which, you know, I've laid bricks just the same way, line upon line. It's like you're up there, you're trying to figure something out or see, be closer to God, you know, whatever you think the Tower of Babel is doing. And then God says, go see the end of that.
And the end of it is that scene about wanting the rocks to fall on you rather than...
No, you want to fall on the rocks instead of the rocks fall on you. No, I understand what you're saying. I was just mixing metaphors. I was being mean. I can't believe I would be. I cannot believe I would be mean. Huh?
You know, the nice thing about recording this and putting it on the internet is that the truth will finally get out. People will see
that you're a victim.
Yeah.
They'll see. They'll see you're a victim, and everybody will feel sorry for you. And then on your grave, you can put. I told you I was sick.
They'll see what an unpleasant, churlish fellow you are.
Churlish?
Churlish. Did you remember the terminology?
Oh. When Harry was editing all the Bible study tapes before, he would always edit them to make him sound like a hero.
Always took Larry out and let me in.
All right. You remember, do we have to go there in 2 John? I mean, 2 John, the second chapter, says, the anointing you have received, you have need that no man teach you. Now you are complete in Him. You always have to think in terms of, how can I describe it? Really, of justice. If there's something that you have to do, that you think you have to do to understand, that someone that couldn't read has to do to understand, then you know you're on the wrong path. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you have to do something that someone that can't hear can't do, then you know you're on the wrong path. If you have to take any action that an imbecile or an idiot would have to, that couldn't take, then you know you're on the wrong path, because God's justice is universal. The only thing required is repentance. Is that clear to everybody?
Yeah, and that's a gift, so that he can give that to
right.
Wherever.
So as long as you're working it, you're always going to be in debt. As long as you're trying, you're always going to be in debt. And therefore, you will never, ever, ever see. What are you doing, Ronnie? What are you doing?
I'm not reading it yet.
No, but falling asleep is just as bad.
You're sleeping ahead.
Biggest head I've ever seen in a white man. I can't believe he said that.
It was a great
Okay, verse 14. Wherefore, hear the word of the Lord, you scornful men that rule this people, which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Now, no one in their right mind is going to say that, right? Especially to God. I'm going to make a covenant with death, and with hell I'm in agreement, and my lies are going to protect me.
And you can't touch me.
And you can't touch me.
No.
All right, so what? Again, we've done this so many times. Please, somebody remember. What does it mean to make a covenant with death and to be in agreement with hell?
I know that.
Somewhere back in there.
It's in there. I can't remember, but the imbecile thing comes into play.
you think this one would stick? Because it's kind of important. Because if you have made a covenant with death and with hell, you are in an agreement, and you find out that that's what you're doing, then you better repent. Turn from your ways. Turn from yourself. What does it mean? Huh?
Yeah, the cause and effect. I mean,
well, in essence, it's the covenant with death is that you're looking towards the future. You remember, you're facing toward the east. Things are going to get better.
Hope.
And with hell, you're in an agreement is... You're facing east instead of the temple, which is always towards the west or towards the sunset. So the facing east, or the covenant with death, means that you have hope in something other than the resurrection. That you have great. And it's so sappy. It's so sentimental and so nice to hear. Man, I've got hope for tomorrow. No, you don't. You're a fool if you have hope for tomorrow. All evidence that anyone with intellectual integrity, there is no hope for tomorrow except him, the resurrection. And so as long as you're, remember everything about the Jewish day starts at sunset, so you don't face the new day with brightness and glory. The new year starts in winter, or at the start of winter. Everything is backwards in the Hebrew world. They don't celebrate the full moon. They celebrate the new moon when you can't see it. Each month, everything is backwards because the scriptures declare that the entire creation is groaning, waiting for the redemption. So if you are in this position of false hope, of hope, then what you're doing is you are fighting against creation itself, not just God. They had to invite me to speak at a Peter Lowe conference.
Peter Lowe. The
PETA low. PETA low too. Yeah, that's another comp. That's another. That with the right attitude. All right. So everybody understand that what that scripture, well, covenant with death, with hell we had an agreement. What?
It's like you're in a covenant with death, and with hell you're in agreement about avoiding death and hell.
Right.
It's like the deal with the devil thing in literature throughout time. It's like, okay, we're in agreement, we made a covenant, so now, and the thing is, the false hope is the deal.
Amen.
So
really all you're doing is just putting whitewash on the wall. It's going to hide it in the closet.
Yeah. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now, what does all this have to do with humility? One of the aspects of humility is that you cannot have false hope. You can't be looking towards the sunrise because things are going to be better today. You understand. You tell it like it is. And you don't let your mind trick you into believing a bunch of garbage. Because that's what it wants to do. It wants to have this covenant. Because that's who it's from. All right? So do you understand its relationship? As long as you're looking toward, as long as you have hope in something other than the resurrection, humility is impossible. Biblical humility is impossible. Peace? What?
Driving me crazy. Isn't that? I have
no idea that
thing is weird. Now you're driving me.
All right. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Okay, what does humility look like in a day-to-day basis? What does it look like? Is it this mealy-mouthed little people that run around and always, you know, that's what the Antichrist has succeeded in giving us, this terrible definition of humility. What? What?
I was just thinking I wouldn't presume to even speculate. That's the false humility.
I know. We're going to get to voluntary humility next, just for you, John. You accept with gratitude everything that comes into your life, all things from without or within, whether they are from friend or enemy, you accept as from the hand of God with gratefulness. That's what humility looks like.
I do have a serious comment because I was thinking that there was times
you don't get a serious comment after that, huh?
I can make a serious comment.
All right.
The idea of studying about humility, it's like that's just not snappy enough. You know, it's like let's talk some more about curved space and, you know, all that neat stuff. Mysterious, you know, secrets of the universe or something. You know, and that's like wanting to gather your bricks together to build your little Babylon.
Spiritual greed. What are the synonyms for humility? Surrender? Abandonment?
Contentment.
Hmm?
Contentment. Peace.
Under any and all circumstances. You can't try to get it. You can only repent when you see you don't have it. The only reason you don't have it, now you are complete in Him. If there's some manifestation of something other than humility, the evil one has raised himself from the dead in you, and he is now your life. And what infuriates me is when I see people do that and they do it with impunity. They think they're justified in doing it. They don't recognize the serious, incredible danger they're in, because they have abandoned the sacrifice of God in order to work out their own deity or deification. So you've sold your birthright for the illusion of being right about something so you can judge someone else down. Everybody understand clearly? Ronnie, are you sick? What's going on? Are you not feeling well, or what's going on?
No, I'm
I'll tell you what, why don't you go back to bed for a while, okay? Huh? You sure you don't want to go back and go to sleep? All right. Then everything that comes into your life in that attitude reminds you. I mean, everything, no matter what it is. You look at a tree, you look at a sunset, you look at a sunrise, you look at a need. Everything in the world reminds you of your constant state of total and complete dependency on God. With absolutely no rights for yourself. And so wherever you look, you see your need and His grace, no matter where you look. Well, that's the gift of God. And that's your heritage. Now, what are you going to sell your heritage for today? What are you going to sell your birthright for? For the momentary feeling of being superior to someone else? For a great idea? What are you going to sell your birthright for today? You're a fool if you sell it for anything. There is nothing in the universe that is as dear and precious as that birthright. But you always tend to fight the wrong battle. You don't understand that all of these things that are coming against you, they're supposed to find out whether you will remain in this place of humility and peace and rest and contentment, no matter what stimuli hits you from externally or internally. Amen?
Amen.
That's enough. I'm really hurting, so I'm going to quit there. Okay. All righty, take it, big guy.